The Complete Guide to Building Wealth: 6 Steps to Financial Freedom. Introduction: The Shocking Truth About Being Broke. Let me share some statistics that will fundamentally change how you think about money and wealth. First, the average American has a literal negative net worth. Read that again. Negative. This means that newborn babies, who owe nothing but also owe nothing, are technically wealthier than the average adult American. Think about that for a moment. A child who just entered this world has a better financial position than someone who has been working for decades. Here's the second statistic that should shake you awake. Even if you work a minimum wage job in the United States, you will earn over $1 million during your lifetime. If you're earning the median US income, that number jumps to $3 million over the course of your working years. $3 million will flow through your hands. The question is not whether you'll see that money. The question is what you'll do with it when it arrives. This is why I'm going to make a bold claim right now. Being broke is a choice. Staying poor is a decision. I understand that sounds harsh. I understand some of you are already thinking about all the reasons why your situation is different, why the system is rigged, why you had a bad start. And you might be right about some of those things. But here's what I know with absolute certainty. As long as you continue to work, millions of dollars will pass through your life. The problem is not the amount coming in. The problem is where it goes once it arrives. Most people are making unconscious decisions about money every single day. They're letting their money leak out in 1,000 different directions without ever stopping to ask whether those decisions align with their long-term goals. Today, I'm going to give you 6 specific steps that will plug those leaks and redirect that flow toward building real, lasting wealth. But before we dive into the steps, I need you to make a decision right now. You need to decide that becoming wealthy is actually under your control. You need to shift from being a victim of your circumstances to being the victor over them. Yes, you might have had disadvantages. Yes, you might have made mistakes. Yes, you might currently be in debt. None of that changes the fact that from this moment forward, you are the most powerful person in your financial life. Step 1, the Buy Nothing Challenge. The first step sounds almost too simple, but it's the foundation everything else is built on. I call it the Buy Nothing Challenge. Here's how it works. You stop buying things. Period. Disconnect your credit card from Amazon right now. Leave your wallet at home when you go to work. Eliminate every easy path to spending money. The only exceptions are your absolute necessities: rent, utilities, insurance, car payment if you have one, and basic food from discount grocery stores. Pack your lunch every single day. I know what you're thinking. This sounds extreme. This sounds unrealistic. This sounds like I'm asking you to live like a monk. And you're right. It is extreme. But let me tell you something about extreme measures. I don't ask anyone to do anything I haven't done myself. When I was taking home $2,000 a month, I lived in a house with 6 roommates. And I didn't even have my own room. I split a bedroom with another person. 2 beds, 2 grown men, looking at each other every single night before we went to sleep. That was my reality when I was building my foundation. Later, when I was making $1 million a month, do you know what my lifestyle looked like? I was living on less than $15,000. I was still driving a beat-up car. I was still living simply. Why? Because I understood something fundamental about wealth that most people miss entirely. Wealth is not about how much you earn. Wealth is a ratio between what you earn and what you need. You can make $1 million a year and be broke if you spend $1.1 million. You can make $50,000 a year and build wealth if you only need $30,000 to live. The number one rule of money, the rule that supersedes every other principle, every fancy investment strategy, every get-rich-quick scheme, is this. Spend less than you make. That's it. If you can't master this single principle, nothing else matters. You could win the lottery and you'd still end up broke. I've always been extremely conservative with my expenses relative to my income. Not because I'm cheap, not because I don't enjoy nice things, but because I hate spending money that I haven't truly earned yet. I hate the feeling of owing money more than you do. That's why I structured my entire life to avoid that feeling. Understanding the real cost of debt. Let me share the third statistic, and this is the one that really exposes the trap most people are living in. In the United States, 35% of every paycheck goes toward paying back banks and lenders for debt. 35%. More than a third of everything you earn is going straight to financial institutions. You know why? Because people don't think about their mortgage as debt. They don't think about their car payment as debt. They don't think about their credit cards as debt. They think about these things as normal, as just part of life, as what everyone does. There's a reason banks have been around for over 100 years. There's a reason they don't go out of business. They make massive amounts of money by selling you money at a bad price. And it's not just a bad price, it's a compounding price that increases every single year you carry that debt. Think about this logically for just a moment. Right now, thousands of people are trying to earn 9 or 10% returns in the stock market. They're researching stocks, they're watching financial news, they're stressing about their portfolio. Meanwhile, those same people are carrying credit card debt at 24% interest. Let me make this crystal clear. If you pay off a credit card with 24% interest, you just earned a guaranteed 24% return on that money. Show me an investment in the stock market that guarantees you 24%. It doesn't exist. The easiest money you will ever make is the money you save by not paying interest to banks. Compound interest has been called the eighth wonder of the world. When it works for you, it's magical. When it works against you, it's devastating. And right now, if you're carrying debt, you're going head to head against the eighth wonder of the world. You're fighting uphill against a force that mathematically guarantees you will lose. The Six Steps to Wealth, a proven framework. Now let me give you the six steps that will change your financial trajectory. These steps are similar to Dave Ramsey's baby steps, and there's a reason for that. He's proven this system works with millions of people. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm trying to show you what actually works. Step 1. Build your first emergency fund. Your first goal is to save between $1,000 and $5,000 in an emergency fund. This is your foundation. This is your insurance policy against life's inevitable surprises. The reason most people never hit their savings goals is because something unexpected always comes up. The air conditioner breaks. The car needs repairs. Someone gets sick. And because there's no cushion, they have to go into debt to handle it, which puts them even further behind. Here's what you need to understand about unexpected expenses. They're not actually unexpected. You can expect them to happen. You just don't know which one or exactly when. If you look at any 12-month period, you'll have something unexpected happen roughly once a month. It might be small, it might be large, but something will come up that wasn't in the budget. So you're not saving for a specific expense. You're saving for the concept of expenses. You're building a buffer between you and the chaos of life. Now some of you are thinking, but what about my debt? Shouldn't I pay that off first? Number, not yet. I want you to learn how to save money first. I want you to watch that number in your account go up. I want you to develop the muscle of accumulating rather than spending. This psychological shift is more valuable than the mathematical optimization of paying debt first. This habit of saving first became ingrained in me early. Even when I was making $1 million a month in the early part of my career, my rent was $1,200 a month. When my wife and I went out to dinner, we felt like we were bawling out if we got appetizers. We'd get the Bang Bang shrimp at Bonefish Grill and feel like millionaires spending an extra $20. The reason I could start my first business at 23 wasn't because I was making crazy money. I made about $55,000 or $60,000 my first year out of college, maybe $70,000 or $80,000 the next year, but I saved $50,000 after taxes. That seed capital came from living below my means and saving every dollar I could. The true cost of today's purchases. Let me show you something that will change how you think about buying anything. Let's say you want to buy a pair of Jordans for $200. You're 25 years old. You work hard. You feel like you deserve them. And maybe you do. But let me show you what those shoes actually cost. If you take that $200 and invest it in the S&P 500 instead, and you leave it there for 40 years until you retire at 65, do you know what it becomes? That $200 grows to over $6,000 at a 9% average annual return. So the question is not, would you pay $200 for those shoes today? The question is, would you pay $6,000 for those shoes? Because that's the real cost. Every time you spend money on something that has no investment value, something that doesn't appreciate, something that just disappears, you're not just spending today's money. You're spending tomorrow's wealth multiplied many times over. When you buy Jordans, there's no upside. That money is gone forever. It's not $200 you lost. It's $6,000 of future wealth you traded for temporary satisfaction. And when you make that trade over and over and over again, the numbers become staggering. $6,000 or $7,000 might not sound like life-changing money, but you don't make that choice just once. If you make 130 of those $200 purchases, that's $1 million of future wealth you've traded away. Most people make that many unnecessary purchases in just a couple of years. This brings me to an important distinction: personal risk versus business risk. Personal risk is buying things that depreciate, that provide no return, that lock you into obligations. Business risk is investing in things that could grow, that could generate returns, that could multiply your money. The problem is that most people can't take good business risks because their personal risk is too high. They're locked into car payments, mortgages they can't afford, lifestyles they can't sustain. So when opportunity comes, when they could invest in themselves, when they could take a calculated risk that might change everything, they can't do it. They're trapped. My entire life, I've worked to keep my personal risk as low as possible so I could be aggressive with business risk. I saved everything I could while I had my job so I could start my first gym. That was a massive risk, but I could take it because I was living on almost nothing in Baltimore. I had built a cushion that let me take that swing, and here's the thing, I lost everything. Twice more after that first business. I had 9 failed businesses and 7 failed partnerships before things started working. But the only reason I could get back up after each failure was because I didn't have crushing personal obligations. I didn't have massive car payments or a mortgage I couldn't afford. I knew I could live on peanut butter sandwiches and protein powder mixed with water from the gas station if I had to. I know I can do that because I've already done it. The more comfortable you are being uncomfortable, the more risks you can take. The more risks you can take, the more you can fail. And the more you can fail, the higher your chances of eventually succeeding. Wealth requires shots on goal. You increase your shots by living risk-free in your personal life. Step 2. Pay off your debt strategically. Once you have your initial emergency fund saved, it's time to attack your debt. But I'm going to give you a strategy that goes against conventional financial wisdom, and I'm going to tell you why it works better. There are 2 approaches to paying off debt, the logical approach and the psychological approach. Logic says you should pay off your highest interest rate debt first. If you have 3 credit cards at 20%, 15%, and 10%, logic says attack the 20% card first because it costs you the most. But I'm going to recommend the psychological approach instead. Pay off the smallest debt first, regardless of interest rate. Here's why. You've been dealing with these 3 debts for years. You're going to pay them all off eventually anyway. The interest rate difference over the next few months while you're aggressively paying them down is negligible compared to the psychological boost you'll get from wins. When you pay off that first card completely, something happens in your brain. You get a victory. You get momentum. You prove to yourself that you can do this. Then you roll that payment into the next smallest debt, and you knock that one out even faster. Each win builds on the last one. If you try to pay off the biggest one first just because the math says so, you might be grinding for 9 months before you get your first win. That's 9 months of the same 3 debts staring at you, taunting you, making you feel like you're not making progress even though you are. Most people give up before they get that first victory. I want you to organize your debt so you have more small wins sooner in the process. Stack those victories. Build that momentum. Let the psychology of winning carry you through. Now, to be clear, I'm talking primarily about consumer debt and credit cards here. The debt we're not going to worry about yet is your mortgage. If you have a car payment, that's different. I strongly recommend you get rid of that immediately. The easiest way to pay off your car is to trade it in for a cheaper car that you can buy in cash. You're living beyond your means right now. I know you thought your means were higher. I know you thought you could afford it when you signed the papers. But that's okay. That's why you're here learning this now. The million-dollar math. Let me give you a mental image that should drill home why all of this matters. If you save about $10 a day, which is $250 a month, and you invest it at 9% annual returns, you will have $1 million in 40 years. Let me say that again. $250 a month. That's it. That feels incredibly doable, doesn't it? The only thing easier than doing it is not doing it, which is why most people choose not to. Now, if you saved $500 a month instead, you'd have $2.1 million in 40 years. At a safe 4% withdrawal rate, which means you never touch the principal, that $2.1 million generates $84,000 a year in income. Forever. Here's the game I want you to start playing in your head. For every $250 a month you save, that's $1 million at retirement. Use that as your mental math. If you save $1,000 a month, that's $4 million. If you save $2,000 a month, that's $8 million. Suddenly, that $5 Fiji water doesn't seem so necessary, does it? That's $20 a week. $80 a month. If you cut out just that one luxury for 40 years, it's worth over $300,000. I know some of you are looking at this office, this setup, thinking, didn't you spend money on all this? Yes, there are levels. But we have to get through level one first. Level one is spending less than you make. Level one is saving what you're keeping. We'll worry about the fancy office after you've built the foundation. Step three, expand your emergency fund. Once you've paid off your consumer debt, you're going to double back to step one and expand it. That $1,000 to $5,000 wasn't real emergency savings. That was just proving to yourself that you could save money. Real emergency savings is 3 to 6 months of living expenses. This money goes into a high-yield savings account. As I'm recording this, there are plenty of places offering 5 to 6% interest on savings. This isn't money you invest in the stock market. This is your foundation, your security, your peace of mind. Here's the magic of having 3 to 6 months of expenses saved. your anxiety about everything else in life goes down dramatically. When you know you have a cushion, when you know you can handle whatever comes, your entire nervous system relaxes. You stop operating in survival mode. You stop making decisions from a place of fear and scarcity. This is where saving money starts to make you money, but not in the way you think. It's not the 5% interest that changes everything. It's that you can finally lift your eyes from paycheck to paycheck survival and look at the horizon. You can see opportunities you were blind to before. You can think strategically instead of reactively. When you're living paycheck to paycheck, you can't afford to take chances. You can't invest in yourself. You can't seize opportunities. You're constantly playing defense, just trying to survive until the next payment comes in. But when you have a cushion, you can go on offense. You can invest in education. You can start that side business. You can negotiate better because you're not desperate. This is how saving money makes you money. It opens doors that were previously locked. Step 4. Eliminate risky spending. Now we're going to get aggressive about cutting expenses that are holding you back. This is where we separate the people who want to look rich from the people who want to be rich. If you have a car lease, turn it in immediately. Buy a $5,000 or $10,000 car in cash. I've owned every car I've ever had in cash. I've only bought used cars. My first several cars all had over 100,000 miles on them. That's just how I thought everyone bought cars until I realized most people finance depreciating assets, which is financial insanity. When you're shopping for a car, look for something with 100,000 miles or less. Check the Carfax. Find models with low insurance costs and low repair costs. You can research average repair costs by make and model online. This isn't complicated, it just requires you to do the homework. If you have multiple cars in your household, downgrade to one. I lived with one car for years. Let me tell you a story I haven't shared in a while. When I drove up to my first gym launch event, we had about 30 or 40 gym owners coming to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where my wife Layla and I were living at the time. I pulled up in Layla's car. It was a Honda Civic with a cracked windshield and a dent in the door. That was the only car we had. One of the ladies in the group looked at me and said, "I thought you were supposed to be rich." I smiled and said, "You should see my bank account. I know what game I'm playing. The game you're judging me on is a stupid game." She was playing the game of looking wealthy. I was playing the game of being wealthy. Those are two completely different games with completely different rules and completely different outcomes. Now, if you have kids, maybe there are considerations around having one car, but even then, is there a way you can make it work with planning and coordination? Many families with children share one car. If they can do it, you can too. What you're paying for with that second car is convenience. But that convenience might be costing you $500 a month in payments, insurance, maintenance, and gas. And we already did the math. $500 a month is $2 million at retirement. Is the convenience worth $2 million? Probably not. Finding your vice. Everyone has their thing. Some people love eating out at restaurants. Some people love shoes. Some people love clothes. Some people love vacations. Some people just live in a neighborhood they can't actually afford because they want to keep up appearances. You need to identify your vice and cut it. Here's how I want you to think about every expense. Translate it into time and translate it into future money. Let's say you have a $600 a month car lease. Let's say you make $100 a day after taxes, which is about $12.50 an hour. There are about 22 working days in a month. That means you're working 6 days out of every 22 just to pay for the car you drive to work. Think about that. More than a quarter of your working time is spent paying for transportation to your job. That's insane. Now let's say you're also spending $1,200 a month on rent or mortgage that's above what you actually need. That's another 12 days of work. Now you're at 18 days out of 22. You have 4 days left for everything else. Food, utilities, savings, entertainment, everything. How much of each day are you using up just on fixed costs? These are the expenses you can completely compress. The only thing stopping you is ego. When I said earlier that I won't ask you to do something I haven't done, I meant it. I was a white-collar consultant who saved $50,000. Then I got rid of my condo and drove across the country to start a gym. I didn't have a place to live. A guy let me rent a bedroom for $400 a month. Then my gym rent was $5,000 a month, and I thought, I'm not paying any more rent on top of that. So I lived in my gym. I was homeless. I lived inside my business. It was fine. It just wasn't legal. One time a client saw my car and said I should take better care of it because it was dirty. That tiny comment was representative of hundreds and thousands of small actions I was taking. I was sacrificing comfort and appearance for financial freedom. I hope you get to where I'm at right now. I'm very grateful for the man I was back then, the one who was willing to make those sacrifices so that I could do what I can do now. So here's my question for you. What are you willing to give up to become a millionaire? Not what are you willing to do. What are you willing to give up? Because in the beginning, it's about elimination, not addition. What people are you going to cut out of your life? What expenses are you going to eliminate? What posturing are you going to stop? What showing off are you going to quit? If you aren't willing to sacrifice anything to become a millionaire, you never will become one. The doorman in my building recently made a change. He went from having a $600 a month car lease to buying a car in cash that he now owns outright. That's a massive downgrade from what he had. But he's paying off his debt, and every month he sees his debt go down. He told me it's incredibly reinforcing. He feels momentum for the first time in years. When I found out that some of the highest earners in my company were living paycheck to paycheck, I talked to more of them about it. What I discovered was fascinating. The people who were the wealthiest, who had the most saved up, who had the most invested, were not the highest earners. There's this massive misconception that people who make a lot of money have a lot of money. Often that's not the case at all. The highest earners were spending everything they made trying to look the part. The real wealth was being built by people earning less but keeping more. I would rather be underestimated for how much money I have. I don't need strangers to know I'm wealthy. I don't need to prove anything to people I don't care about. So here's the real question. Do you want to look rich or do you want to be rich? If you're honest with yourself, most of you want to look rich. You want the appearance. You want people to respect you based on your car and your clothes and where you live. You don't actually want the security. You want the status. I'm a very risk-averse person in my personal life. I hate the feeling of needing money. I hate it more than you do. That's why I structured my entire life so I would never have to feel that way. Your tolerance for poverty is higher than mine. You've become accustomed to that feeling. You're willing to deal with that stress. I'm not. That's the difference. Now, if you have a family, this requires conversations. You and your spouse need to be real about the neighborhood you're living in and whether you can actually afford it. You need to decide together that you're not going to keep up with the Joneses today so that you can pass the Joneses eventually. If you want to look rich long term, the best way to do that is to actually be rich. Because when you're actually wealthy, you're stress-free about money. You're not worried about the next bill. You're not checking your account before you buy groceries. And that freedom changes how your entire life feels. Charlie Munger said, "The first 100,000 is a bitch, but you've got to do it." I don't care what you have to do. If it means walking everywhere and not eating anything that wasn't purchased with a coupon, find a way to get your hands on 100,000. He said this years ago, so adjusted for inflation, it's probably closer to 150 or 200,000 today. But the principle remains. Get that first chunk of capital saved no matter what it takes. Make it fun. Put it on a spreadsheet. Track how quickly you can knock down your goals. Gamify it. Compete with yourself. See how much you can save this month versus last month. Dealing with housing costs. Let's talk about your biggest expense. Housing. If you're renting, downgrade to something cheaper. As cheap as you possibly can while still being safe and functional. This isn't forever. This is for now, while you're building your foundation. If you have a mortgage, this is harder to get out of quickly. If interest rates have dropped since you bought, refinance to a lower rate. If rates haven't dropped, try to refinance to a 15-year fixed mortgage instead of a 30-year. The payments will be higher, but you'll pay it off in half the time and save massive amounts in interest. The goal is to pay off your house as fast as possible. I can tell you from personal experience that living in a house that's paid off in cash is incredibly peaceful. No mortgage payment hanging over your head. No worry about losing your home if something goes wrong with your income. Think about what happens when both your car and your house are paid off. Your fixed costs drop to almost nothing. Maybe you're working 2 days a month to cover your basic expenses, and the other 20 days of work can go entirely toward investments, toward building businesses, toward your future. That's when your earning capacity starts to snowball. That's when real wealth building begins. Step 5. Invest 15% of pre-tax income. Once you've eliminated your consumer debt, built your emergency fund, and reduced your fixed costs, it's time to start building real wealth through investing. I recommend automatically investing 15% of your pre-tax income into assets that will grow over time. The key word here is automate. Make it automatic. Make investing frictionless and make spending friction-filled. Take the money off the top before you see it, before you can spend it, before you can talk yourself out of it. Set up automatic transfers from your paycheck into investment accounts. Most employer retirement plans will do this for you automatically. If you're self-employed, set up automatic transfers on the day you get paid. Now, I'm also going to recommend you set aside another bucket for education. If you're thinking, I don't have enough to invest 15% and also invest in education, then you need to spend less. You can always spend less. There's always something else you can cut. But if you truly can't do both right now, split it. Put 7.5% into traditional investments and 7.5% into your education. Or do 10 and 5. The exact split matters less than the principal. Invest in assets and invest in yourself. Here's why education is crucial. As soon as you can replace what an educational investment cost you, everything else is profit. It's like playing with house money. Once your increased earning capacity from a course or a book or a program has paid for itself, every dollar beyond that is pure gain. The day you stop investing in your education and skill development is the day you decide you don't want to make any more money than you're making right now. Your earning capacity is directly tied to your knowledge and skills. If you stop growing those, your income stops growing too. Now, I need to be clear. This is not investment advice. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just telling you what I told my team and what I do myself. For most people, low-cost index funds like the S&P 500 are a solid choice. They're diversified. They've historically returned around 9 to 10% annually over long periods, and they don't require you to be a stock-picking genius. But here's what I really want you to understand. While the S&P 500 might give you 9 or 10% returns, investing in yourself can give you much higher returns, especially early in your wealth-building journey. Let's say you have $10,000. If you put it in the S&P 500 and it grows 10%, you have $11,000. You made $1,000. Great. But what if instead you take that $10,000 and invest it in yourself? Maybe you buy equipment that lets you start a side business. Maybe you pay for a course that teaches you a high-income skill. Maybe you buy tools that multiply your productivity. Let's say you currently make extra money on the side shoveling driveways in the winter. You can do 3 driveways a day by hand. But if you buy a snowblower for $1,000, you can now do 20 driveways a day. You knock on doors in your neighborhood and offer to clear driveways for $20 each. That's $400 a day instead of $60 a day. Will that snowblower generate more than $1,000 of additional income in its first year? Absolutely. By a lot. That's a much higher return than 10% from the stock market. This is why, especially in the beginning, I would invest in myself over the stock market every single time. Your ability to generate returns by increasing your earning capacity will always be higher than passive investment returns when you're starting out. Check your accounts daily. Here's a small habit that makes a massive difference. Check your accounts every single day. Look at what came in and what went out. Watch the flow. I did this religiously until we crossed about 20 million in net worth. At that point, the daily volatility stopped making sense to track. But until you're well into 8 figures, you should have a pulse on your money. When you check daily, you feel it. You see that subscription charge and you think, do I really need that? You see a good deposit and you feel motivated to do more of whatever generated it. You become intimately familiar with your financial rhythms. You can't manage what you don't measure. You can't improve what you don't track. Daily account checks keep you connected to your money in a way that monthly check-ins never will. The $52 million secret. Let me show you something that sounds absolutely insane but is mathematically true. If you're 20 years old right now and you follow what I'm about to tell you, you will have $52 million by the time you retire. Here's how it works. You take on an extra job or an extra shift. You find a way to make an additional $2,500 a month. Maybe you drive for Uber. Maybe you go to your boss and say you have more time and can you take on additional responsibilities for more pay. Maybe you start a side business. Most businesses have more work than they can handle. If you just offer to work more hours, many employers will pay you more because they need the help. So you make an extra $2,500 a month, and you invest every single dollar of it into the S&P 500 or a similar index fund. You don't touch it. You pretend that money doesn't exist. It goes straight from your side income into investments. You do this for 55 years. Starting at age 20, ending at age 75, the money compounds at 9.7% annually, which is below the historical average of the S&P 500. The result? $52 million. You would be in the top fraction of 1% of wealthy people in America, from just working an extra job and investing the proceeds. Think about what I just said. That $52 million is being created by someone no matter what. If you don't change your habits, if you don't start investing that extra money, someone else is getting that compound growth. The banks holding your debt are getting it. The companies you're spending your money with are getting it. That money is being made. The only question is whether it's going to be made by you or by someone else. Do you want that $52 million to belong to banks and their shareholders, or do you want it to belong to you? Step 6. Pay off your mortgage. The final step is paying off your mortgage completely. Once your house is paid off, all of your basic living expenses are covered. Your fixed costs are done. Everything you earn beyond basic utilities and food is now available for investment, for building your legacy, for whatever matters most to you. This works incredibly well when paired with what I call the 30 by 12 challenge. Work 30 days straight, no weekends, 12 hours a day, no days off. I know what you're thinking. That's not sustainable. You're right. That's why I said 30 days, not the rest of your life. The point is to prove to yourself that you can work harder than you thought you could. For thousands of years, humans didn't have weekends. Weekends are a modern invention that came with factory work. I believe it was actually a way to extract even more from workers, though I can't remember the exact history. The point is, you won't die if you go a couple weeks without a day off. If you stop spending all your money and then take all the time you would normally spend spending money and use it to make money instead, you get a double benefit. You reduce the negative and add to the positive. See how much progress you can make in 30 days. Then you can evaluate. Is it worth it for you to keep that pace? Maybe not. But maybe you realize you can work one weekend a month. Maybe you realize you can add 10 extra hours a week. Maybe you find a middle ground that accelerates your timeline without burning you out. Conclusion: the decision to build wealth. Let me bring this all together. Wealth is a decision. It's something you can control. And it starts with these fundamental principles. Spend less than you make. Always, without exception. Increase your earning capacity continuously through education and skill development. Pay off the debts that are locking in negative compound interest against you. Build emergency savings so you can think beyond paycheck to paycheck survival. Eliminate risky personal spending so you can take smart business risks. Develop the habit of saving and investing automatically. Pay off your house so your fixed costs approach zero. Start investing aggressively once you've built your foundation. Work extra when needed to accelerate your timeline. The choice you face is simple but profound. You can continue on your current path, letting money flow through your hands and out to banks, to car companies, to landlords, to a thousand small purchases that evaporate the moment you make them. If you do that, someone else will build $52 million of wealth, just not you. Or you can decide right now that the next million, the next 3 million, the next $52 million that flows through your life is going to stick. It's going to compound. It's going to work for you instead of against you. The psychology of sacrifice and success. Let me address something that I know is running through your mind right now. You're thinking about all the things you'll have to give up. You're thinking this sounds hard. You're thinking this sounds like deprivation. And you're right. It is hard. It does require sacrifice. But here's what I want you to understand. You're already making sacrifices. You're sacrificing your future for your present. You're sacrificing security for appearance. You're sacrificing freedom for convenience. The question is not whether you'll sacrifice. The question is what you'll sacrifice for. When I was living in that bedroom with a roommate, when I was living in my gym, when I was driving that beat-up Civic with the cracked windshield, I was happy. I was content. I was excited about what I was building. The sacrifice didn't feel like deprivation because I knew what I was working toward. And now that I have money, I'm still content. I enjoy the game more now. I have more resources to play with. But my baseline happiness didn't change that much. Because happiness doesn't come from stuff. It comes from progress. It comes from knowing you're moving towards something that matters. Here's what's interesting. I've had people tell me they can't possibly live on less than they're living on now. They're already at their minimum. There's nothing left to cut. But when I look at their expenses, I see subscriptions they don't use. I see a car payment that's half their rent. I see eating out four times a week. I see a phone plan that costs more than their groceries. You can always spend less. Always. The question is whether you're willing to. The two types of people. In my company, I discovered something fascinating. The people who had the most money saved, the ones who were building real wealth, were not the highest earners. In fact, some of our highest earners were living paycheck to paycheck despite making six figures. This taught me that there are two types of people: those who want to look rich and those who want to be rich. The people who want to look rich upgrade their lifestyle every time they get a raise. They move to a nicer apartment, they lease a nicer car, they buy nicer clothes. They're playing an arms race with their peer group, constantly trying to signal status and success. The people who want to be rich do the opposite. They bank the raise. They keep living like they did before. They widen the gap between their income and their expenses. They're playing a different game entirely. Which game are you playing? Be honest with yourself. If you're playing the look rich game, you will never actually be rich. You'll always be stressed about money. You'll always be one emergency away from financial disaster. You'll always be dependent on your next paycheck. If you're playing the be rich game, you might look poor for a while. People might underestimate you. They might judge your car or your apartment or your clothes. But eventually, you'll have something they'll never have: actual financial security and freedom. The compound effect of small decisions. Every financial decision you make is either compounding for you or against you. There's no neutral. Every dollar you spend on something that depreciates is a dollar that's not compounding in your favor. Every dollar you invest is a dollar that will multiply over time. Let's run through some real examples of how this plays out. Coffee. Let's say you buy a $5 coffee every workday. That's $25 a week, about $100 a month. Over 40 years at 9% returns, that's $400,000. Your daily coffee habit is costing you $400,000 of retirement wealth. Now, I'm not saying you can never have coffee. I'm saying you need to understand the true cost. If you make your coffee at home for 50 cents instead of buying it for $5, you save 45 cents per day. That's the same $400,000 over time. Same coffee, same caffeine, dramatically different financial outcome. Lunch, buying lunch at work for $10 versus packing lunch for $2. That's $8 a day, $40 a week, $160 a month. Over 40 years, that's $1.3 million. Your lunch habits alone could make you a millionaire or keep you broke. Phone plan. Let's say you're paying $150 a month for an unlimited everything plan with the newest phone on a payment plan. You could switch to a $50 a month plan with a paid-off older phone. That $100 difference is $800,000 over 40 years. I could go through every single expense category and show you the same math. Each one seems small in isolation, but they're not isolated. They stack, they compound, they multiply. If you optimize just those three categories, coffee, lunch, and phone, you'd save over $2.5 million over a working lifetime from three simple changes. Three sacrifices that wouldn't materially impact your quality of life, but would completely transform your financial future. Understanding lifestyle inflation. Here's the trap that catches most people. They get a raise and they immediately increase their spending to match. They think, I'm making more money now, so I can afford to live a little better. This is lifestyle inflation, and it's the silent killer of wealth building. When I went from making $2,000 a month to making $1 million a month, my lifestyle barely changed. My rent went from $400 to $1,200. That's it. I was making 500 times more money but spending only 3 times more on housing. Why? Because I understood that every dollar I spent on lifestyle was a dollar I couldn't invest in the business, in education, in assets that would compound. I was playing the long game, Most people do the opposite. They make twice as much and spend three times as much. They make 10 times as much and spend 15 times as much. Their expenses always stay ahead of their income. Here's a simple rule. When you get a raise, bank at least 80% of it. Let yourself enjoy a small lifestyle increase with 20% if you must, but the bulk of it needs to go toward your wealth-building goals. Better yet, bank 100% of it. Keep living exactly like you did before. Pretend the raise never happened in terms of your spending, but let it accelerate your wealth building by years or even decades. The power of saying no. Wealth building is not about saying yes to opportunities. It's about saying no to temptations, no to the car lease, no to the expensive apartment, no to eating out constantly, no to the subscription services you don't use, no to buying things to impress people you don't like, no to keeping up with friends who are broke but look rich. Every no is a yes to your future self. Every sacrifice today is freedom tomorrow. I've had to say no thousands of times. No to going out when friends wanted to spend money I didn't want to spend. No to upgrading my lifestyle when the money started coming in. No to investing in things I didn't understand. No to people who wanted to separate me from my money. The ability to say no is a superpower. It's the difference between people who build wealth and people who just pass money through their lives. Real talk about your situation. Let me get real with you for a moment. Some of you are watching this and thinking, this doesn't apply to me. My situation is different. I have kids. I have medical bills. I have this. I have that. And you might be right. Your situation might have unique challenges. But let me ask you this. Are those challenges real obstacles, or are they excuses you're telling yourself? I've seen single parents build wealth. I've seen people with medical debt build wealth. I've seen people who started with nothing and had every disadvantage build wealth. It's harder for them, absolutely. It takes longer, definitely. But it's possible. The question is not whether it's possible. The question is whether you're willing to do what it takes. If you have a family, this requires having honest conversations with your spouse. You need to get on the same page about priorities. You need to agree that you're going to sacrifice some comfort now for security later. You need to present a united front to your kids about why you're not keeping up with the neighbours. And here's the thing, kids don't actually need most of the stuff we buy them. They need stability. They need parents who aren't stressed about money all the time. They need a good example of financial discipline. Those things are free. The tolerance for discomfort. Here's a hard truth. Your tolerance for financial discomfort is probably too high. You've gotten used to being broke. You've gotten used to living paycheck to paycheck. You've gotten used to having debt. You've normalized a situation that should be unacceptable. My tolerance for financial discomfort is extremely low. The feeling of needing money, of being dependent on the next paycheck, of owing money to someone else, I can't stand it. It makes my skin crawl. That's why I've structured my entire life to avoid that feeling. You need to lower your tolerance for being broke. You need to get angry about your situation. Not in a destructive way, but in a motivating way. You need to decide that living like this is unacceptable and you're going to change it. The only way to change it is to become comfortable being uncomfortable in a different way. Instead of being comfortable with debt and uncomfortable with saving, you need to flip it. Become comfortable with sacrifice and uncomfortable with spending. The exponential nature of wealth. Here's something most people don't understand. Wealth builds exponentially, not linearly. The first 10,000 is hard. The first 100,000 is really hard. But once you have that foundation, everything accelerates. Charlie Munger said the first 100,000 is a bitch. He was right. It feels impossible when you're starting from zero. Every unexpected expense sets you back. progress is slow. You're grinding for months to see your account balance tick up a few thousand dollars. But once you hit that first 100,000, something changes. Now you're earning thousands of dollars a year just from investment returns. Your money is working for you. The compound interest that was working against you when you had debt is now working for you. Then you hit 200,000 and the acceleration continues. Then 500,000, then 1,000,000. Each milestone takes less time than the last one because you have momentum. You have compound interest on your side. You have the habits and discipline that got you there. This is why you cannot give up in the beginning. This is why you have to push through when it feels impossible, because it gets easier, it gets faster. The exponential curve eventually kicks in, but you have to get to that inflection point, and the only way to get there is to grind through the linear phase at the beginning. Investing in yourself, the highest return. I want to come back to this because it's crucial. While the stock market might give you 9 or 10% annually, investing in yourself can give you 100%, 500%, or even 1,000% returns. Here's an example. Let's say you're working a job making $40,000 a year. You spend $2,000 on an online course that teaches you a valuable skill. Maybe it's coding, maybe it's sales, maybe it's digital marketing. That course helps you land a new job making $60,000 a year. You just got a $20,000 annual raise from a $2,000 investment. That's a 1,000% return in the first year alone. And you'll keep getting that return year after year. Or let's say you're running a small business making $5,000 a month. You invest $10,000 in a business coach or a mastermind program. They help you optimize your operations, improve your marketing, and raise your prices. Your business grows to $15,000 a month. You just added $10,000 per month in revenue from a one-time $10,000 investment. In the first month, you've broken even. After that, it's pure profit. That's an infinite return. This is why, especially early in your wealth-building journey, I would invest in education and skills over the stock market every single time. The stock market will still be there later. But the opportunity to dramatically increase your earning capacity is highest when you're young and early in your career. Learn high-income skills. Learn how to sell. Learn how to market. Learn how to manage money. Learn how to build businesses. These skills will pay dividends for the rest of your life. The freedom calculation. Let me give you a different way to think about your financial goals. It's not really about accumulating a certain number of dollars. It's about accumulating freedom. Freedom is measured in time. Specifically, how long could you survive without working if all your income stopped today? If you're living paycheck to paycheck with no savings, your freedom is measured in weeks, maybe even days. You have almost no freedom. You're completely dependent on your employer, your clients, your next payment. If you have 3 months of expenses saved, you have 3 months of freedom. You could lose your job and have 3 months to find a new one without panicking. If you have a year of expenses saved, you have a year of freedom. You could take time off to retrain for a new career. You could start a business. You could be selective about your next opportunity instead of taking the first thing that comes along. If you have 10 years of expenses saved and invested, you have massive freedom. You can pursue passion projects. You can turn down opportunities that don't align with your values. You can live life on your terms. If you have enough invested that the returns cover your living expenses indefinitely, you have complete financial freedom. You work because you want to, not because you have to. Every dollar you save and invest is buying you freedom. That's what you're really accumulating. Not money, freedom. How much freedom do you want? What would you sacrifice to get it? The regret minimization framework. Here's how I want you to think about financial decisions. Imagine yourself at 80 years old, looking back at your life. Will you regret the sacrifices you made to build wealth? Or will you regret not making those sacrifices? Will you regret driving a cheap car in your 20s? Or will you regret still being broke in your 60s? Will you regret living in a small apartment while you built your foundation? Or will you regret never building that foundation at all? Will you regret saying no to expensive dinners with friends? Or will you regret the stress of living paycheck to paycheck for 40 years? Will you regret working extra hours when you were young? Or will you regret having to work when you're old because you didn't build wealth when you could? Most regrets come from inaction, not action. From not trying, not sacrificing, not committing. Very few people regret the hard work they put in. They regret the opportunities they didn't take. Make decisions today that your 80-year-old self will thank you for. The identity shift. Here's the final and perhaps most important piece. You need to change your identity. You need to change how you see yourself. Right now, you probably identify as someone who's broke, who struggles with money, who can't seem to get ahead. That identity is holding you back more than any external circumstance. You need to start identifying as someone who builds wealth, someone who makes smart financial decisions, someone who delays gratification, someone who invests in their future, someone who says no to temptation, someone who's playing the long game. This might sound like fake it till you make it positive thinking nonsense, but it's not. Your identity drives your actions. If you see yourself as broke, you'll make broke decisions. If you see yourself as a wealth builder, you'll make wealth building decisions. Every time you choose to save instead of spend, you're reinforcing this new identity. Every time you invest in yourself, you're proving to yourself that you're someone who builds wealth. Every time you say no to a purchase that doesn't align with your goals, you're strengthening this identity. Over time, these small identity reinforcing actions compound into massive results. Not just financial results, but a fundamental transformation in who you are. Taking action today. Everything I've told you today is useless if you don't take action. Knowledge without action is just entertainment. You need to do something today, right now. Here are your immediate action steps. First, disconnect your credit card from Amazon and any other online shopping sites. Make spending harder. Create friction. Second, write down every single expense you have. Every subscription, every bill, every payment, every recurring charge. Get it all on paper. Third, identify the three biggest expenses you can eliminate or reduce. Circle them. These are your targets. Fourth, open a separate savings account if you don't have one. This will be your emergency fund. Name it something motivating. Fifth, set up an automatic transfer of at least $50 to that savings account. Make it automatic so you don't have to think about it. Sixth, calculate your monthly expenses and figure out how much you need for 3 months of living expenses. That's your emergency fund goal. Write it down. Seventh, if you have debt, list out every single debt you owe. Write down the balance, the interest rate, and the minimum payment for each one. Order them from smallest to largest balance. Eighth, commit to the buy nothing challenge for 30 days. The only things you buy are absolute necessities. Everything else is off limits. These 8 actions will take you maybe an hour, 1 hour, to start changing your financial trajectory. There's no excuse not to do this today. The long view. Building wealth is a marathon, not a sprint. You're not going to fix everything overnight. You're not going to go from broke to millionaire in a month. This is a multi-year, probably multi-decade journey. But here's what I want you to understand. You're going to live those years anyway. Time is going to pass whether you take action or not. You're going to be 40, 50, 60 years old, whether you build wealth or stay broke. The only question is what your life will look like when you get there. 10 years from now, you could be completely debt-free with hundreds of thousands of dollars invested, living in a paid-off house with complete financial peace of mind. Or you could still be living paycheck to paycheck, still stressed about money, still wishing you had started sooner. 20 years from now, you could be a millionaire several times over with complete financial freedom to do whatever you want. Or you could still be grinding, still working because you have to, still one emergency away from disaster. The choice is yours. The time is going to pass either way. Final thoughts. Let me leave you with this. I've given you the exact steps I followed to build wealth. I've shown you the math. I've explained the psychology. I've shared my personal experiences. I've removed all the mystery and complexity and boiled it down to 6 simple steps. You have everything you need. The information is not the limiting factor. The limiting factor is your willingness to execute. Most people will watch this, nod along, maybe even feel motivated for a few hours, and then go right back to their old habits. They'll tell themselves they'll start next month. They'll convince themselves their situation is different. They'll find reasons why this won't work for them. Don't be most people. Take action today. Start the Buy Nothing Challenge. Set up that savings account. List out your debts. Make the hard choices. Have the difficult conversations. Do the work. Your future self is counting on you. The person you could become is waiting for you to make the decision to change. The life you want is on the other side of the sacrifices you're not yet willing to make. Wealth is a decision. Freedom is a decision. Security is a decision. What are you going to decide? The 6 steps are clear. Build your emergency fund, pay off your debt, expand your emergency savings, eliminate risky spending, invest 15% of pre-tax income, and pay off your mortgage. The path is laid out in front of you. All that's left is for you to walk it. Start today. Start now. Your millionaire self is waiting.